Rich Eisen Show.
Only those who wish to listen may do so.
That's a thinker.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I don't know if you've heard, but Nyheim Hines does appear to be out for the year. He's on your brother's team. Is that a possibility for you, Dalvin?
That'd be exciting, but it's not out the picture for me to go play that with him.
Okay.
Earlier on the show, Open Championship winner Brian Harmon, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Coming up, TCU head coach Sonny Dykes, comedian Jim Gaffigan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air on this terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us. Also, we are on the air on Sirius XM Odyssey, the Roku channel, and so much more. We've got Jim Gaffigan coming in studio in the middle of this hour. Just full disclosure, as you know, there is a strike going on here in Los Angeles, California. The Screen Actors Guild and the Writers Guild as well. The conversation that I'm going to have with Jim Gaffigan was recorded a few weeks ago in advance of the strike. So as you know, there are many comedians, actors, and actresses who are not promoting anything that's going on. This was done before it, but it's a great conversation. Don't miss it. He is hilarious. I think you will enjoy it. My friends, Mike Florio were on this program. My new friend, Brian Harmon was on this program.
Yes, indeed.
Got to meet the Open Championship. And I consider this guy a friend. He has called into the show. And it's been enough time since he destroyed my, New Year's Eve plans. I only took my son to go watch this game. Flew to Glendale.
Didn't your son cry, too?
He was crying. Of course he was crying. He's 11, and he loves Michigan. And this man cut out his heart and showed it to him pumping. Is that too tough? Is that too difficult?
Might be accurate,
enough time's passed. Yeah. The head coach of TCU football, Sonny Dykes, back here in the program. How are you, Coach?
I'm well, Rich. How are you doing?
I'm doing better. Thanks for asking.
Yes, sorry to hear about your son. I hate to carry that burden with me.
Football is a cold, heartless game sometimes, Coach. You know?
It is. No, I got a six-year-old that I can assure you has no love for Georgia right now. So I understand what he's going through.
Well, that was my previous New Year's Eve, Coach. That was my... Yeah. So when you woke up that day, did you feel like something like that was going down? You guys were confident, ready to roll into that national semifinal? Walk me through your preps for that, Coach.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, there's, you know, as you get into sports and especially you get into these, you know, matchups where you've had a lot of time to prepare for each other,
yep,
like we had, you know, going into that game. You know, so much of it becomes about matchups, and we felt like that we had some good matchups. We could create some good matchups, and you know, that a lot of times in sports, that's really what it comes down to, is your ability to get your best player on somebody who may not be as good as them, and then, you know, 11 guys have to go out there and execute it and make a play. And fortunately for us, you know, our guys did it quite a bit, and we were able to generate a lot of big plays in the game. And then I think the thing that's probably overlooked as much as anything in that game was, you know, we scored a couple of touchdowns defensively, had a couple of goal line stands. And so a lot of things went well for us that particular evening, and they needed to.
And then, you know, it's interesting that the draft, and I know, you know, you didn't have such a great time in SoFi Stadium for the national championship game, but five of the eight Horned Frogs you sent to the NFL draft this year are going to play in that stadium, the Rams and the Chargers. You're going to maybe, if you want to see some of your former players, spend some time in Los Angeles. It's kind of wild if you think about it.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Good for those guys. They get to go exercise some demons.
Yes.
And I'm probably going to need a little therapy before I go back to SoFi anytime soon.
How much, and again, we'll get to the here and now in a second. How much contact are you in with Max Duggan right now? Obviously, seventh round choice. He's with the Chargers.
Ready to go camp. So haven't much here recently, but you know, I'm really excited to see how Max is going to do. I'll probably, usually about a week or two into camp, I'll reach out to those guys just to kind of check in, see how it's going, and get some feedback and try to encourage them sometimes. I mean, it's a big step, you know, going from college football to the NFL, and you know, some guys make the transition pretty easy. You know, quarterback position's obviously tough, and so, you know, there's going to be some challenges for Max, and the road will be bumpy, but he'll do a great job, and I'm really excited to watch him develop as an NFL quarterback, because I really, truly believe his best football is still in front of him.
Right, and, you know, so now into the here and now, is this Chandler Morris's gig going into your training camp that starts on the 2nd?
Yeah, Coach? Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Chandler's the guy that's coming back that's got experience. You know, we have some quarterbacks on our staff that are you know, we're really excited about and pretty talented, and they all bring different things to the table. But certainly coming in, I think we anticipate, you know, Chandler being the guy. You know, the one thing we try to do is you know, have a competition really for every spot. We're not big on depth charts and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the guys that perform well in practice typically are the ones that get opportunities in games, and then we kind of readjust and measure from there. But certainly going into camp, you know, Chandler has played football here at TCU, played a little bit for us last year, you know, played well the year before when he had some opportunities to be the starting quarterback. And, you know, he's a guy that really going into last season was the starter. You know, he got hurt in the third quarter against Colorado, and Max stepped in and had an unbelievable year, finished 2nd in the Heisman Trophy. But we really have a ton of confidence in Chandler and excited to see what he can do leading this football team. And we have a lot of new faces, but we're real optimistic that these guys are really talented and have a chance to be a special group.
And then, of course, you know, attention on you for various reasons for your first game September 2nd, because you were a national finalist last year, and want to see how you can follow up on that. And then Colorado coming in with a different coach this time around, Sonny. You got Deion. You got Deion's first game.
Yeah, Deion's a whole lot more interesting than me, I can assure you. So there's going to be you know, a lot of interest in that, and justifiably so. I think, you know, Deion's always does a tremendous job of creating excitement and energy really around whatever he does. I mean, he did it as a player, and he's certainly done it as a coach. And so there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on that first game, and it's a great opportunity for us to kind of come out and put that bad performance we had against Georgia behind us and create some, you know, some momentum this season. And it'll be a big challenge for us. I mean, they've got a completely new roster. I think 70 new scholarship players or something close to that. You know, he's got his son has been his quarterback at Jackson State, Shador, who's a really talented guy and understands what they're going to do offensively. And so they're going to hit the ground running, and as you said, it should create a lot of interest and excitement.
And then, did I pick up a vibe at the Big 12, you know, media week with Oklahoma and Texas being in this conference for one more year of, hey, you know, good luck to them where they go, but they haven't really won this conference lately. And you're obviously somebody along with Kansas State that played for the conference championship last year, and that was, you could make the case, the best bowl game of the bowl season, you know, of the conference best conference championship game of the conference championship season. You could easily make that case just in terms of competition and level of play. Do you have that same vibe, or was I just picking up the wrong thing right here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, I think the Big 12 teams, if you look at the last two Big 12 championship games, you know, the year before it was Baylor and Oklahoma State, and last year was TCU and Kansas State. So, you know, neither of those programs have represented, you know, the Big 12 in that championship game the last couple of years. You know, I think obviously both of those teams are going to be very much improved. You know, Texas, I think, ended up being the favorite going into the season, but you know, I think like anything else, I mean, Oklahoma had such a prolific run as Big 12 champions. You know, they were in the championship game almost every year and really won it almost every year for a long time. And, you know, they kind of hit some hard times last couple of years, at least for their standard. And I'm sure they'll be much improved as well. So, you know, it's going to be a competitive league. But I do think that the Big 12 is confident in the remaining teams and the teams that we've added. I think that we feel like really from top to bottom, you know, we're the most competitive league in college football. You know, I think that that's, our guys truly believe that. I believe it. You know, week in and week out, you have to play incredibly well. You know, you can't go out there and play a bad game or you're going to lose. And I think our league is different. Mm-hmm. You know, the worst team in our league can beat the best team. And You know, it happens a lot of times in the Big 12, and I'm not so sure it happens in other leagues that often.
Sonny Dykes, head coach of TCU, a couple minutes left with the HC in advance of the August 2nd training camp opening up for college football and, of course, TCU. Did you hear the commissioner of the SEC, Commissioner Sankey, say that Congress needs to step in and handle name, image, and likeness and give a federal guideline that is followed by all 50 states? That's the answer to what's going on with NIL, which is now 2+ years old. Do you agree with that assessment, Coach?
I certainly do, probably, you know, in the short term. I think that there's got to be some other long-term resolutions. I mean, quite frankly, the federal government's got a lot better things to do than to try to regulate college football and deal with the changes and the implementation and all the things that need to happen to keep our game the great game that it is. We have to do something. I mean, right now there's no other sports league or organization that operates like, you know, college athletics does right now, and certainly college football, where you know, you can go out and you can buy the best players you want to buy. There's no draft. There's no salary cap. There's no anything. And so what happens now is you get a large school that has a large alumni base, and they can basically come buy your roster if they want to. And you know, imagine that taking place in the NFL, that, you know, Jerry Jones wakes up one day and says, you know, I think I want to, you know, go buy a quarterback, so let's go find the best quarterback and buy him. And it just doesn't work that way in other sports. And so we have to do something in our game to keep it the great game it is. I think that is a good starting point. But truly, you know, the NCAA has to somehow provide some kind of leadership for us, and they haven't done a very good job of doing that up until this point. And really the power players right now in college sports, I think, are conference commissioners. And so,
yeah.
You know, I truly believe that those guys need to get together and decide, okay, look, here's what we want to do, because they're the ones that, in my opinion, hold all the power right now. And so, you know, we've had some conversations with Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner. Mm-hmm. I think he is a really sharp guy. He's a doer. He's a guy that wants to go out and make things happen. And so I think those conversations need to start taking place at the conference level, because at the end of the day, they're the guys that really have all the control over the game.
Well, I mean, have you found that players are getting inducements? We all know what NIL is supposed to be for. At least the idea is to give the collegiate athlete the opportunity to make money off of the name, image, and likeness when they're performing their craft on behalf of the university for a scholarship. But yeah. That's not really what seems to be happening right now.
Yeah, I've been a proponent of NIL for a long time.
Right.
I think that's why we're in the situation that we're in right now, is because for years the NCAA just kind of thumbed their nose at athletes. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, no one's coming to fill our stadium to watch me play. You know, they're there to watch the student athletes play. And I always felt like that those guys, needed to have some kind of benefit. You know, they needed to have an extra benefit just besides the scholarship. I mean, they brought much more value to the university than that. And so I think what happened for so long is the NCAA just ignored that fact and thumbed their nose at those kids. And fortunately, the courts got involved and freed up opportunities for those guys to earn money off of name, image, and likeness. But the problem is that once it kind of started to head that direction, you know, the leadership just walked away and just said, well, we can't do anything about this, and here it is. And so now what you have is, again, you've got free agency, and you've got an open market. And, you know, we have players on our roster right now that have graduated that can transfer really at any time. And you know, I'm hoping that guys show up for fall camp, you know, when we kick off on Wednesday. And there's still a couple of players I'm worried about that I know some other schools have reached out to and tried to entice them to come play for them. And so it's just, you know, it's a very difficult time to be a college coach. But, you know, the thing is, you hate to see it for the players, because it makes it really tough sometimes to be loyal to their teammates and to their university. They want to be, but I think sometimes, you know, when someone throws a pile of cash at you, it's hard to have that kind of loyalty in some ways. And it just puts young people in some bad situations at times. And, you know, creates a lot of chaos for the sport.
Certainly, if they go someplace and they don't get the opportunity that they've been promised, you know. So my last question for you is, has somebody had the temerity to go into your office, Sonny Dykes, and say, this is my price, if you don't hit it, I'm gone? Has that happened?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. It happened several times when I took over the program here at TCU. You know, some of the players had you know, in some ways become free agents and had gone into the transfer portal and, you know, walked in and said, okay, this is what this school's going to pay me, and, you know, this is what I want. And so, you know, those are conversations that aren't great. And a lot of times these guys went to the other schools and found out it wasn't exactly what they thought it was going to be. You know, there's no one to govern these contracts. I mean, the way that these NIL cooperatives write these contracts is they're really personal service contracts, and they can write them however they want to. And it's not, there's no standard for the player. There's no protection for the player. You know, some players and their families are being taken advantage of, where they, you know, are promised one thing and then receive something different. And so, you know, someone has got to get involved a little bit to regulate it, again, more for the safety of the players than for the convenience of coaches.
Coach, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. You know, again, I'm glad enough time went between, you know, New Year's Eve and now for me to get over the opportunity to talk to you. And I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, no, I appreciate it, Rich. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you.
And like I said, maybe your son and myself can share a call sometime and mourn together. You know?
No, it's okay. No, it's all right. My son needs to understand that you can't always get what you want, as somebody once said. Thanks for the call. Greatly appreciate it. Let's talk during
the
season.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
You bet.
Okay,
that's TCU head coach, Sonny Dykes. Let's take a break. My conversation with Jim Gaffigan. I love this man. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Jim Gaffigan, Dark Pale, 10th comedy special, unprecedented
feat. Isn't that amazing? I'm only 23.
On Prime Video, it's available starting today. And you're talking about, again, these travel teams. When you mention hockey, I'm impressed when people tell me this, but also happy I'm not in that world. When I hear, okay, so my kid's on this hockey team, travel hockey team. We woke up at 3:30 in the morning. And we drove 3.5 hours to get him there for that 7 o'clock start. And I'm not joking. Like, these are the actual times and the lengths of drives and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to sound negative, but I think I'd rather have my kids in rehab. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, you write a check for 50 grand or you give up 10 years of your life. I mean, it's just, no, but it is obviously the value of sports are really important.
Of course.
And, you know, I've got my 12-year-old loves basketball and he's pretty good at it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say, hey, no one that has our pigmentation is playing in the NBA, you know, unless you're from Slovenia. You know what I mean? It's like, but I'm like, yeah, you know, and I send him clips of Kobe, you know, Kobe saying do 3 hours a day, and he's out there doing 3 hours a day, and yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
But there's no travel team.
How are you watching the games? How are you as the dad in the stands, Jim Gaffigan?
Well, some of it is, you know, my 12-year-old is barely, like, his middle school didn't even, he was sixth grade, and so, like, they didn't even allow him on the middle school team because he was too young or whatever.
Okay.
But so like watching, but I take him to practices and stuff like that. I mean, I enjoy it. I take videos and stuff like that.
No, I know that, but invariably, again, it's about being fun, having fun. And that's what we tell, you know, our kids that just have fun, go do it. But there is a competitive moment in it where either somebody else's kid on the another team is acting a little bit, you know, aggressive.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so but you also know, you know, it is a 12-year-old's event here.
Yes, and
it's
there
a tug of war that goes on inside.
There is also managing, you know, you don't want your kid, no matter how talented they are, to be like a douchebag. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right,
like
exactly.
Like, sometimes he might be like, I shouldn't have passed it. And I'm like, no, you want people to know that you're a generous, you know, teammate. You know, and so, like, there's things like that. There's so many lessons in sports that are really valuable.
Yes.
And but it is something that kind of can go too far,
sure.
You know? And it's just also, I don't know about you, but, like, leaving a practice is, my kids don't want to leave. So, like, the practice is over and they're like, oh, I need to do some shots. I'm like, no, you don't. You know what I mean? You don't need to, you just did it for an hour and a half. Well, let's just go. So I'm kind of like, let's go.
Do you bribe them to get off the court sometimes?
No, I'm kind of just that guy. And, you know, the coach would be like, hey, you know, I'm like, we're done. We're done here. Let's leave. It's over. I'm a essentially. No. It's, but I love it. I love it. And there's nothing I enjoy more than, like, you know, because of some of my success, being able to take my sons to a Knick game.
Oh,
it's
sure.
like amazing.
It is great.
Going to sporting events. It's amazing.
So now, this week, Jim Gaffigan, I have my three kids are in camp. My wife is out of town.
Oh, wow.
I have the house to myself. And the first day that it happens is the greatest day of my life.
Yeah.
And then around, like, morning two, night two, stuff begins to creep in, like hunger, you know,
because
I have to fend for myself and there's nothing in the fridge. Like, shop. I got to decide for myself what to eat.
Yeah.
There's no plates for me to pick off.
Yeah.
And then it's really like day three. I honestly feel like I'm a castaway on an island.
And then you're like, am I just going to sit at a bar and drink a bourbon? You know what I mean? Like, because there are those guys that are just like sitting at the bar. But, and you don't want to be that. But the first night you're like, God, that guy has a good life.
He does.
Right?
So how do you find, are you ever in the house by yourself anymore? You got five kids or what?
Yeah. So there's two at camp.
Okay.
And then our 19-year-old is home and the two younger ones are doing different camps.
Yes.
But there's chaos. But I travel so much doing stand up and I love touring. So I kind of relish the opportunity to be at home doing some of this stuff. But, you know, so there's just, we do movie night and stuff like that, which is an impossible task because children have horrible taste. So, do you know what I mean? It's like,
I forgot what it was like to go when I was in high school and my friends and I were like, we'll rent a movie and we go to Blockbuster.
Yeah.
And we'd be in like minute 50 of walking around because we couldn't decide on what to get, or we finally decided what to get and that tape wasn't there. And I forgot what that feeling was until we had to choose a movie with my kids.
Oh, yeah.
And it felt exactly like that.
Yeah. No, I will search it up and then I will pitch it to people. And, you know, I've got 19, 17, 14, 12, and 10. And sometimes I just bully the situation. I'll be like, we're watching Suspiria. And they're like, what's Suspiria? And I'm like, you're not going to like it, but I want to see it. And so, but often
there's not a revolt on your hands for something like
there's
that?
There's usually a revolt and there's, you know, there's complaining later on. But sometimes, you know, but it should be a movie. I feel like it should be a movie. And sometimes it's Freaky Friday and these decent movies, but like, but sometimes we just end up watching, we've been watching Kitchen Nightmares a lot.
Okay.
It's amazing.
That's good, right?
It's amazing.
Okay.
And that's something where the whole team likes it, which is a relief.
Right. Usually it's a food show. Like we're a Great British Bake Show in our house. Holy Moly is something we can agree to as a family.
Really?
Yeah, we can do that. But other than that,
it's hard.
It is warfare. It truly
it's
is
hard.
To choose something that we can all sit and watch. And if it's something, if I suggest a movie in standard definition, immediately rejected.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately rejected. I'm like, no, you don't understand. This is a classic movie. Like, I pulled the dad, like, the you don't know thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then, But it's standard definition. Forget it. Out the door.
We watched Rushmore because I was kind of trying to set them up so that we could watch Asteroid City. And so I'm like,
so is it Rushmore? That's a gateway movie?
Well, it's like Wes Anderson. So I was so excited. Yeah, right. I was like, all right, I'll get my 19-year-old, you know, Jason Schwartzman, so amazing. Sure. My 10 and 12-year-old will climb on board. Bill Murray's with Bill Murray. And and my 19-year-old, because, you know, he's in love with his teacher. And at one point, he tries to kiss her, and it's kind of aggressive. And my 19-year-old was like, I'm out. You know, because it was... It was assault, and it's like,
I love
and I'm like, ah, so when this movie came out in 98, the humor of that, like, we knew that he obviously would never hurt her, we knew that she would never hook up with him, we knew that, but, like, she's like, wait a minute, he's in love with his teacher, and so, like, to a 19-year-old, she was just like, the social justice construct she couldn't break through.
I fought through the standard definition no thanks battle with my kids to show them the original Bad News Bears.
Oh, wow.
I broke through it. I got them to sit down and see it. My daughter, the look on her face when Walter Matthau reached for a beer and cracked it open while driving.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just like, why would you show me this?
We did.
And then Tanner's language. I'm like, different time, kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But they looked at me like I was.
We watched.
Out of my mind. You know?
Nacho Libre. And. We watched Nacho Libre, which. And so to see them navigate. Because also my 10 and 12 year old are like, they're like, is Jack Black Mexican? And I'm like, I don't think so. And they're like, just a damn good actor. Part Mexican. I'm like, well, he was just hired. I'm like, no, he wrote it. He wrote it with Mike White. And they're like, is Mike White Mexican? I'm like, no, he's as white as me. And I was like, but this is an homage. And I'm like, and so they're sitting there justifying this.
Yes.
And they're like, maybe the director was Mexican. I'm like, no, it's the director who did Napoleon Dynamite. Probably looks like me. And it was, but it was just.
Oh, funny.
It was not. It was appropriation as we understand it, but it was an homage to this, you know, to the, you know, Mexican. And I brought my kids to wrestling matches in Mexico City. They're amazing.
You did do that, huh?
Yeah.
Man, Father of the Year, Jim Gaffigan here on the Rich Eisen Show. And sometimes, though, and then we'll move on to your special. Sometimes my wife and I will just give up. We're like, fine, watch this movie that we know is going to. Be nearly as good as what we've suggested, but we're done fighting. So one night we relented and they watched a movie called War with Grandpa or War on Grandpa, where, you know, there's a grandpa who's in the who needs to be brought back into the family because he's living by himself and he can't, you know, do War with Grandpa, is that what it is? And so he's living in the third floor of the house, kicked the kid out of his room because he came in. So he and the kid are now in sort of like a Home Alone type battle.
Oh, wow.
The grandpa is played by Robert De Niro. And it dawned on me about 40 minutes in that the first De Niro movie of my children's life is War with Grandpa. And I grabbed the remote and I did the most provocative thing possible, which is to pause a movie
and on my children. And try and explain.
Oh, my God. I had to. I said, you have to understand. We'll finish. Like, I'll hit play again.
Yeah.
Because hitting pause on them is just very provocative act. I had to explain them. This guy on the screen is maybe the greatest living American actor, or if not the greatest actor of all time.
Yeah.
And they're like, hit play, will you please?
They're like, what, that guy?
That guy.
Or, well, you know, also my kids, when during the Super Bowl, they're like, my 14-year-old, she was 13 at the time. She was like, oh, Rihanna's for old people.
Whoa.
I'm like, Rihanna is for old people. I'm like, what is going on?
Is that what her assessment of the halftime show? That was her.
Yeah, that was her takeaway from the Super Bowl halftime show.
Wow.
I mean, kids are horrible. But it is also fun. It's like, even, you know, so this Mac show, Full Circle, we got a screener and we're watching it, and my kids are like, you're playing a bad guy. Mm-hmm. Like, do you get paid less for playing bad guys than, like, the good guys get paid more? And I'm like, no, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
And, but, like, it's just the perspective is so different. But it is fun, you know, and they, but they get angry when I play a bad guy.
Okay. I was about to say, I mean, when you're playing a serious character,
yeah.
Do they get totally confused here? I mean,
not really, because they kind of know me as, they're like, oh, that guy? Yeah, we could see you as a murderer. You know, they see, you know, they see dad, you know, like,
yeah.
Your kids see a different person than, you know, yeah. Is here right now.
Sure.
You're like, clean up your room. You know what I mean? You don't say that here.
That's you being the heavy in the yeah. Household.
Well, I try, you know.
Jim Gaffigan here on The Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so let's talk about Full Circle. It's a Max original limited series directed by Steven Soderbergh with yeah. A hell of a cast.
Oh, amazing. Cast.
So what was amazing. It like for you to be directed by Steven Soderbergh?
It was incredible. He's a very, I mean, the writing's also amazing.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I love acting and I love kind of playing a character where there's an open end where you could play him different ways. Yes. And so I would pitch ideas to Steven and he's like, yeah, all right. You know, it was really interesting because he is he's the DP. He's the director of photography. He's holding the camera. He's going to edit it.
Yeah.
And he's also had his hand involved in all the writing. Ed Solomon's a great writer. And so he's like, you're essentially pitching to one person. Like, you don't have to. He's like, yeah, that'll work. That'll work. So I'm like, all right, so what if I pick out my gum and I kind of spit it here? Even though there is a scene mm-hmm. where I'm eating a like a 7-Eleven burrito. It's like the first scene when you meet my character mm-hmm. with Zazie. And I'm like, you know, this is kind of, people are going to think this is a Hot Pocket. And Steven Soderbergh does it. He's like, well, what does it matter? What's a Hot Pocket? And so, like, he doesn't know that, like, I have this joke. And yeah. I'm like, and then I just appear like this narcissist. It's like, everyone thinks about me and eating a Hot Pocket. And he's like, and so then I'm like, forget it. But it is, to answer your question, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
But it is very hands off. And he's so quick. So you do, like, one take, and he's like, We got it. And you're like, really? Because he's editing it. So
in his head, as well as later on.
For hours.
He's unbelievable.
And the morale on the set is amazing. So all the actors show up really prepared. They have ideas. And you shoot it and you move on. And he's worked with the same group forever. So everyone knows what's going on.
That's so cool. Although that is a legit point by you is like, hey, you know, it could be viewed as an homage and a wink and a nod to yeah. your fan base, but you also don't want people to, you know, get out of the character that you're playing.
Exactly. I didn't
by
want
the Hot Pocket.
And then I was like, but I eventually decided it's like, you know, if they're going to be distracted, it's just for a moment.
Right.
You know, and I mean?
So did you YouTube it for Steven and just basically
no,
say,
no, I just kind of brought it up and he kind of looked at me politely like, the world is not about you, Jim. And I was like, and you know, and then reviews came out and I did read one review where a guy thought that it was a Hot Pocket, but
okay,
that's
all right.
1 out of 50.
Well, it's all working. Yeah. And now Dark Pale, 10th comedy special.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know it is.
Yeah.
What was your first again?
Beyond the Pale.
Beyond
There's
the
always
pale.
Some pale element.
Understood. But now you're Dark Pale.
Now I'm Dark Pale because this is pretty kind of sardonic and
okay.
You know, these past 5 or 6 years have been so weird,
right?
And we've been exposed to so much. Like, if you're not a little nihilistic or cynical by now,
yes,
you should be in the Barbie movie, right? I mean, we've all, you know, like, we literally watched the news and there was a running tally of people dying.
Yeah.
Like, that is just weird,
right?
And so, and we all lost people over this time, so I kind of talk about some of that, you know, that dark stuff. But I think, you know, and I toured with the material for a year and people enjoyed it, but it is, we're kind of more cynical than we used to be, I think.
Sure, absolutely. And so Dark Pale is available today on Prime Video. Seriously, I'll watch anything that you do. And so before I let you go, on a previous show we were talking about, because it's that time of season when not much is going on sports-wise, about our abilities to do one thing for one split second against a professional athlete on their professional turf, and what we could actually pull off. Like, I thought the number one tennis player in the world, Carlos Alcaraz, his serve is what, usually about a buck 25 or something?
130.
I'd be able to get 1 point off him in a three-setter.
Oh, I would never.
Okay. So my sound guy, Mike Del Tufo, thinks he could get a goal on an NHL goalie in a one-on-one situation. So is there anything you think you could do?
You know, I played college football for a couple of years, you know, mainly Division III. But I used to always think I could be a long snapper. Just because you just got to take up space. You have to deliver the ball and take up space. Like, you don't even have to block. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, you know what? I could be a long snapper maybe once. Like, I could
in the NFL, or what do you think?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not saying I want to do that. Like,
I'm
I don't
not saying
want
you want to.
But no, I think that, I mean, now I can barely bend over. But I think that right now, I don't think I could do it. But
have you ever snapped? Did you ever do that?
Yeah, no, I did that. I did
long
that.
Or
yeah.
just regular
yeah,
shotgun
no,
snap?
I mean, that was also, like, if you're a center in high school doing the shotgun, that's super fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So, yeah, I think that I could have done that. But not now. I don't think now.
Okay.
Now I can't. Now I can barely walk upstairs. And by the way, there's 80-year-old people. Our country is being run by a man who's 80. And I go to a parent-teacher conference and I need to take a nap. After a Zoom, I'm like, wow, I should take a break. Right? It's just...
I do this show. I go home at some point, you know. 5 to 10 minutes, that's all I need. Just like a power nap, man.
Yeah, there's different.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, there's some pacing that has to occur. That whereas in my 20s, I don't think it mattered.
And here I am asking if you could long snap once in the National Football
League. But so, yeah, it is an interesting task. But otherwise, I don't think... Yeah, I mean, if I sleep on the wrong shoulder, like, I wake up and I'm like, that's right, I can't sleep on this shoulder.
I'm that way, too.
Right?
I am that way. Jeez. How old are you?
I am 5,000 years old.
Okay.
I'm 57.
Okay. Yeah.
How old are you?
54. I'm right. I'm neck and neck. I'm in your neck of the woods.
We're doing good. We're doing great.
I'm fine. Yeah. I know I'm doing fine. I can get 1 point off the number one guy on the
planet.
You
really think you could?
I do think so, yeah.
Wow.
1 point. 1 point. I just got to get 1 point. Just one time ball, racket on ball.
Like, when they show those half times of people shooting, like, if you can shoot five baskets, I have anxiety.
What do you mean you have anxiety?
I have anxiety. I mean, like, I don't think I could, you know, like, or, you know, if you hit this half court, you could win $1 million.
Yes.
Like, I threw out a pitch at a Cubs game, and I was like...
Well, no, that's nerve-wracking.
But I think that's a similar situation, because, you know, if you do it wrong, people are like, oh, this is going to go viral.
It's just going to go, that does go viral. How'd you do?
I did all right. I did fine. It wasn't
a 50
cent.
Did you hit the zone?
No, it was too high, but it was, I made it, but I didn't practice either. Like, my wife was like, are you going to throw a ball? And I'm like, I didn't have a chance to.
Oh, I did. So. I threw one out at Dodger Stadium, and I practiced at the UCLA, down the Jackie Robinson Stadium.
And so did you throw with some heat and all that?
I was, Chris, you were there that day?
I was there.
By the way, the guy that they had was their backup bullpen catcher at the time, who was in the All-Star game last week. Wow. Kenley Jansen was not even the closer that he is now. He was just the backup bullpen catcher. He was the poor bastard that had to come and catch my first pitch. He's like, who the hell is this guy? I got to come out in 90-degree heat in Chavez Ravine and bend down and catch this guy's. So I threw from the mound. I would have hit a right-handed hitter, but firmly believe a left-handed hitter would have swung over my my garbage.
And so there was some speed on it, because mine was just like, is it going to get there? I mean, it's going to get there, but it's...
You got, oh, there it is. There it is. Yeah. I mean, you just called it up. Oh, and you put your name tag on your thigh right there?
You know what? That's what the cool kids do. That's what the cool kids do.
That's what they do.
But now it's so fun. And so,
yeah.
I grew up in Chicago listening to, Cubs games and White Sox games. So it was so amazing to do that. And I'm one of six kids. So when I was going to do this, my siblings and their children, I was like, eventually I had to request 26 tickets.
What?
I was like, can I have 26 tickets? And they're like, Wrigley Field's not that big.
That reminds me of that Animal House line. Can I have 10,000 marbles, please? Oh, my God.
Wow.
Plus 26. That's how you roll. Check out, again, Dark Pale, available today on Prime Video. The Max original limited series, Full Circle, currently airing with new episodes releasing Thursdays on Max. Check it all out right here, of course, on Roku, at Jim Gaffigan on Twitter and Instagram. Always love our chat.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it.
Right here on The Rich Eisen Show. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Fitting, I should mention on our radio program, what we just talked about on our Roku channel feed. I'm honored to say that I was nominated for a Marconi Award.
Yes, indeed.
Today, and I want to thank my friends at Westwood One, Teresa Gage, Karen Glover, and everyone else there that was assisting in my candidacy.
Congratulations.
It's an honor.
Man.
It's an honor. It's an honor to be part of this radio business every single day, coming on the air here on through Westwood One's help and everyone else putting together the Rich Eisen Show radio network basically from scratch 3 years ago.
Man.
I'm honored, and honored to be mentioned with fellow nominees as well. Let's get to this. The San Francisco 49ers training camp is open. Brock Purdy has been cleared to practice with no limitations.
Really?
Correct, except they are going to put him on a pitch count, which sounds like they're limiting him. But that's understandable. Kind of like, what are they going to have him throw 90 million times to start this thing off? So it looks like Purdy has answered the bell.
Wow. I'm shocked.
Now, when you've got a guy who's on that they have not one but two quarterbacks on first contracts. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Trey Lance is paid at a much higher level than a guy picked last in the last round last year in Brock Purdy. So I imagine Nick Bosa would like some money. Wow. I believe the general manager and the coach are very well aware of that, as Bosa was not there today.
Do you expect him to practice, get on the field and practice with his teammates without a new contract?
I wouldn't. That would surprise me. Yeah,
that's a mutual decision, coach or team and the player.
We want all our players to be here. We've got a pretty good track record of having our guys here and done, with contracts. So, like I said, this one may be perhaps a little more complex and no timelines there. But I'd tell you that we're working hard. We have good communication and we got to keep doing that. And the interest is mutual. Yeah,
I love it. Shanahan's, man. He's just... Sit next to the general manager. I wouldn't show up without a contract. Well, he is the one who is going to have to get into the, if you will, foxhole with Nick Bosa and vice versa once this all happens. It'll happen. I would be stunned if that does not happen.
Let me tell you, Rich, they're paying Nick Bosa.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen, and Lynch will get it done. I would be stunned, again, if first game of the year Nick Bosa is not out there trying to chase down Kenny Pickett for the 49ers at Pittsburgh. A sneaky good week one game. And then holdouts are all over the place. Zach Martin's not in Cowboys camp. And then the question was, when Bill Belichick showed up for a press conference today, Lawrence Guy, who wasn't there during the spring, is he going to be there today? Bill Belichick being asked about a potential holdout of a star player of his is definitely fodder for today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Today's Bill Belichick Belichick press conference moment.
Well, we prefer to win.
Lawrence Guy wasn't here for minicamp. Has he reported?
Players report later this morning.
Do you know Joel?
We'll find out in an hour or so. I don't know. I haven't been in there. They're doing physicals. That gets started here in a few, I don't know, 8:30 or somewhere in there. So I don't do physicals. Doctors do those. But,
yeah. Do you believe the situation is heading out of the spring has been resolved?
I hope so. We'll see. It's football season. Most players play football in football season. There it goes.
I don't do physicals. Doctors do those.
It's football season. Most players
it's football season. If Belichick, it's just like, is he going to show up? I don't know. Players are going to come here in about an hour.
Multiple great
postscript.
Wow.
Lawrence Guy did show up today.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm being told.
He knew better.
So the update on that is Lawrence Guy showed up, and Belichick still doesn't do the physicals. Yeah. Doctors do those.
Not a doctor.
Good. Oh, they're so good.
You're using the whole fist, Coach?
Whoa.
River.
Oh, my God.
You know,
he's so funny.
Little bit of Fletch going out the door.
This day flew by, guys.
All right. We'll see everybody Wednesday.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Collision has been struggling a little bit out of the gate with these ticket sales.
A little bit out of the gate. This was a major show announced on a major network with what everybody thought was this huge star, CM Punk. I said he was going to be the biggest financial flop in wrestling history, and I think I'm being proven right every minute of the day.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.